Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in town. Settle down, people. Just because CJ Stroud is not throwing at Houston Texans OTAs doesn't mean that his arm no longer works.
But Paul, he had shoulder injuries at Ohio State. But Paul, he's dealing with a pec issue and a shoulder issue right now. What are the Texans gonna do?
Well, here's what Texans head coach DeMeco Ryans had to say about C.J. Stroud earlier this afternoon.
First off, I know everybody's going to ask, first, is CJ not throwing again? There's no concerns with CJ. It's just general soreness. We're taking extra precaution with him, but he'll be good to go. No concerns on my end there. Really excited the way our guys are working.
New Texans offensive coordinator Nick Caley also weighed in on Stroud as he tries to get back on the field. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, he's locked in every step of the way. No concerns whatsoever. I know D'Amico's already hit on this. Everybody's got a specific routine relative to their own routine, specific to whatever, you know, through whether it's football, whether it's athletic training, et cetera. And he's doing a great job, and he's out here, and he's working.
I am not stressing about this. I think that for now, when it comes to C.J. Stroud, this is just something that he will overcome. This time of year, you got to remember this, with the NFL's offseason changing as much as it has over the last 15 years due to the collective bargaining agreement that almost had a lockout in 2011. Right before the 2011 season, they got things done very, very late. But that agreement led to a dramatic change in just the way that the offseason is. OTAs, like, nothing happens now. Every single year, less and less has happened at these off-season training activities that are voluntary, even though they're more voluntary in name only. You can't get fired for not showing up. But if you don't show up, you're not doing yourself any favors if you're not one of the best players on the team. But Stroud not throwing, not a big deal. This is a huge moment in time right now for the Texans to actually figure out what they're supposed to do on offense. A lot of that is just walkthroughs. It's the offensive line who are all rotating around, understanding the offense as best they can, because it's a new offensive coordinator with an entirely new offensive line. The quarterback has to understand what he's supposed to do. The wide receivers have to understand what they're supposed to do. But more than what happens on a field right now, more than passes thrown at practice, the most important thing right now for the Texans is that they are all doing their homework, that they are reading, that they are studying. It is all about getting on top of the offense as best they can. I think CJ Stroud is doing that right now. You just heard Nick Caley saying that he is.
Stroud is a dork when it comes to football. He's a nerd. He loves the game. The guy brings up random specific moments that he remembered while watching film over the course of a season in podcasts. And while you might have gotten annoyed with all the podcast appearances that he did last offseason, I think somebody that can remember select minute details the way that Stroud does is a sign that the guy is a bit of a junkie when it comes to the actual sport. And that's what you want in your quarterback, even if you maybe think that the guy took a step back this past season. You want a guy who's obsessed with it like that. I think Stroud is perfectly fine when it comes to picking up this offense. Now, is this offense going to be good? I don't know. I think a lot of people are hoping it'll be good, and the wishful thinking is leading to some optimism that I'm not sure is justified. There have been a lot of guys that have come from the Sean McVay tree. A lot.
Oh, but Paul, he also was in New England for a little bit of time.
Cool. Has a rapport with Nick Caserio. Great. Awesome. Splendid. Wonderful. Should be at the very least better than Bobby Slowick, because how can it be any worse? Same thing with the offensive line coach side of things. But when it comes to the guys who are not out at practice, don't worry your silly little head, your pretty little head. You know, sit back and relax. The stories that come out this time of year, the ones that'll get your attention, are probably going to be manufactured in a way where it will freak you out. This is the NFL offseason. They're trying to get your attention. They're wearing the loud Hawaiian shirts that I wear on the weekend, formerly in the pursuit of a mate. You know? That's what's happening online right now. You're going to see posts on X, on Facebook, which, oh my God, Facebook, what a quagmire of misinformation and disinformation. If you go on that, the amount of things that I have seen that have just been completely wrong. One of them was Jose Altuve speaks out about Astros Pride Night in May. It's not even the right month. Fake quote was made up. It's insane. But if you're on these apps, Facebook, I would just encourage you to get off Facebook altogether. Facebook is a lost cause. X is a hellscape itself. Instagram keeps you on a little bit too long, as does the TikTok. You're going to see stuff out there, and it's going to be people overreacting to stories that months from now, we are not even going to remember we talked about. And I would say with this CJ Stroud shoulder/pec issue, that's going to be one of them. Ronald Darby, third corner, retiring. Oh my God, the Texans don't have a third corner. The guy's been off four teams in 4 years. First off. Second off, you have Derek Stingley and Kamari Lassiter. You have an awesome 1-2 corner combination that might be the best in the league. Oh, but who's our keep CP3? Who is it? Last year, your CP3 sucked. You didn't even know. You didn't even know. It was CJ Henderson and Jeffrey Okuda, amongst others. Guess what, guys? Your 1 through 53 will have limitations. There will be depth issues at certain positions. You can't have, like, an all-star team. You don't have the way that baseball used to be, like, it's not that anymore, you know? Unless it's the Dodgers. It's one of these things where you're going to have certain weaknesses on your roster. And it is the job of a great quarterback to elevate those weaknesses on the offensive side of things. And it is the job of the great defensive players that you have to make up for some of the players who are average, middle of the road. And some of those are going to be backups. People were concerned about, like, Ronald Darby retiring. Like, you haven't even seen him play yet. He wasn't even going to make the team. So I'm seeing a lot of these stories about OTAs, and there's a lot of overreaction to it. And I'm just encouraging you, relax. It's none of these stories are going to matter, ultimately. I really don't think it. And if you want to, I would rather hear, like, dumb trade ideas than OTA updates.
Okay, Kyle Pitts for a third-round pick?
No. I'm saying no to the trade.
Oh, okay.
But I'd rather hear them. They just throw them at me, and I will answer very quickly. Jonnu Smith, if we're talking
fifth?
If we're talking fourth-round pick, that's where it gets interesting.
Okay.
I think about it. I think that they do need some help in the tight end room. I mean, yeah.
Fourth, but you get back next year sixth from
doing this. But if David Andrews went, I mean, not David Andrews, if Joe Tooney went for a fourth round pick, I mean, like, I'm just going to say that's as much as I'm willing to offer. So
just something to keep in mind going forward. You're going to see a lot of little clickbaity headlines out there. If you're really a diehard interested in the Texans fan, look past those things and look for the interesting little tidbits, interesting quotes that maybe you'll remember from weeks, months from now. But this is this part of the NFL offseason is just like the NFL draft, the build-up to the NFL draft specifically.
The combine, yeah.
Right. It is inflated with hot air. It is just hot air. There's nothing more than that. So do not let it make you concerned or panic. That's all I'm trying to say. And this is in complete opposition to something that I was taught while over at the Texans flagship. There was never a mandate like some have claimed for me to talk about the Texans. I am honestly of the mindset that no one actually listened to my show, which was great. There was more this idea that you make talking about this urgent. I remember specifically being told, like, yeah, you have to make it so that OTAs seem like they matter, but they don't. They don't. There are topics surrounding OTAs, big picture, that matter. We're actually going to get into a couple later in the week, but I'm just telling you right now, this is not something to be concerned about. And it does feel like all of a sudden, the people that are looking at this C.J. Stroud injury have perhaps been paying a little bit too much attention to the Astros training and medical staff. There might be a little projection going on here. And that I would understand. Sean's raising his hand.
Hand up. That's me.
Yeah, I totally understand that.
It's more of an annoyance, too. Like, I know it. I'm with you where, I know that your starting quarterback not doing essentially walkthroughs and voluntary minicamp. Like, this isn't the end of the world. But at the same time, I'm 36 hours away from thinking that Yordan Alvarez was going to start this weekend. And then
yeah.
It turns out they didn't know he had a broken hand. So it's just the messaging.
I get the messaging part is a frustrating thing to deal with at
from
this moment
the Texans.
But
I would like he's on a different plan. We don't expect him to throw until X. And I'm like, okay, I'm good.
I get what you're saying there. Totally get what you're saying there. That said,
it doesn't actually matter right now.
No, not even that. So this is how all NFL teams operate. Like, NFL teams more than anyone really keep you in the dark when it comes to injuries.
Yeah.
Because they don't want their players getting targeted in the middle of a game.
Yeah.
It doesn't really happen in baseball. The Texans are not alone in doing this. And I also do not think that they are being remotely close to the Astros and what they have a track record of doing. Somebody had responded to a post that I put up on X about this, like laughing at everyone talking about the OTAs with like such serious hushed tones. Like, yeah. Oh no, CJ Stroud's not out there. And this one guy said, like, well, I mean, the Texans do this all the time. And I was like, no, man. The Astros do this all the time.
Yeah.
The Texans really don't do this as much.
I mean, NFL teams in general don't really. I mean, a part of it's just because they have like a injury report that they have to put out every day. And so you see the progress happen during the season. But right now, they don't need to put out an injury report, so they don't have to give you anything. It's just, if it is nothing to worry about, just, like, tell us so we don't have to ask you every day.
Yes.
That's kind of the, like, I would be more at ease if I know tomorrow if they have a press availability for D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud isn't throwing tomorrow, he's going to get asked about it again. And I would just like to put that part to rest.
That's fair.
That's the annoyance, is that we go from one sport to the other with seemingly not to the same degree as the Houston Astros, but the same problem happening.
That's fair. And guess what it'll get? A mention and a move on.
Yeah.
Unless it blows up like that Yordan Alvarez did, which did merit a whole show yesterday.
By the way, rightfully so.
Yeah.
Because, yes, the Yordan thing, because he's going to miss another month of actual games. This, like you said, if he's not throwing by the start of training camp, that's when you're, like, actually taking notice. The first time that they actually practice in July with pads on and he's not throwing, that's when you worry. Until then, it's annoying.
I don't even think they're wearing pads.
They might not. They might
just
actually
wearing helmets.
The helmets and
helmets
shorts.
Helmets and shorts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, until then, it does not matter.
From the 832, can we make sure that no Texans players do any advertising for Houston Methodist. Hey, the fine people at Houston Methodist have nothing to do with the Astros. They need the Houston Methodist people, clearly, over there. I'm not dumping on Houston Methodist. I will dump on the Astros for it. Desert Stroh says when it comes to C.J. Stroud's shoulder and pectoral, get C.J. a massage therapist. I do not want any Texans quarterback dealing with a third-party massage therapist.
Yeah, I mean, he can just do that on Instagram. Yeah, just find him on Instagram like everyone does.
Sean Mapes is behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Speaking of Yordan Alvarez's injury, we're going to dive right back into it. Oh, there is something I wanted to touch on that we did not really get into detail about on Sunday. I actually think that there is a good sign from the Astros going forward when it comes to injuries that comes out of this Yordan Alvarez mess that they've created for themselves. I'll share it on the other side. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.
Have you learned your lesson, you naughty, naughty boy?
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Do you plan to rob a bank?
No.
Or capture animals in the wild?
No, no.
Has Dana Brown learned his lesson? Have the Astros learned their lesson? Those naughty, naughty boys. That's right. I just busted out a song from the hit cartoon Madeline, which is based off of the hit children's book series. That's right. What a song.
Will you tease another dog?
No, no.
Will you scam another cat?
No.
Or lock up another hole?
They're French. That's what they do in France.
I can tell.
Have you learned your lesson, you naughty, naughty boy? I have learned my lesson. Now I'm not a naughty boy.
He learned his lesson. Did the Astros learn their lesson? I'm hoping that they did. And I might be reading too much into this. I will credit Robert Ford, Syracuse guy, from the Astros radio broadcast, asking this of Dana Brown during their pregame show on Sunday. When asked if the Astros could have done anything differently with Yordan Alvarez, here's what Dana had to say. Quote, I think the big point here is when he had the first injury in terms of the muscle strain in the hand, maybe we shouldn't have let him fight through that. Yeah, I agree. I agree. It's your best hitter. And it's April to May. More from Dana Brown. He said it wasn't the normal pain that he usually gets in his hand, so he thought he maybe could grind through it, and it was just soreness. Okay. A player saying he can grind through it when he is as important as Yordan Alvarez is merits a follow-up every single time. I don't care if he's saying this to Dana Brown, to Joe Espada, or to the actual training staff. Sometimes they got to step in there and they actually have to make a decision to communicate and say, no, man, we're not letting you play. You know, if you want a recent example of this, Sean, I believe you've been watching the rehearsal on HBO Max.
Yes.
And the subject of this second season, Nathan Fielder, who is genius, like seems to be a very smart guy in addition to also being hilariously funny, focuses on how there's a lot of aviation disasters that happen as a result of poor communication between pilots on a plane. And honestly, when you think about it, seems pretty obvious with the way that Fielder paints the picture. Maybe it's not entirely accurate. Airlines clearly don't think so, but communication's huge. But sometimes you got to communicate with the person that thinks that they know what they're doing or thinks that they're okay. No, you're not. Athletes, a lot of them, they're going to tough it out. They're going to try to get back in there. A lot of them. Sometimes you got to get in the way of it. Not just for the short term, or for the, it's actually mainly for the long-term prospects of your team. Generally, when you're stepping in to stop a player from playing, it's all about that, and it's about prioritizing the most important parts of the season.
And, to be honest, with the way that Yordan was hitting early in the season, fighting through injury, could have been for the short term, too, because it's not like the Astros were really dying to get that, you know, 200 batting average and the relative, obviously, to his standards, lack of pop in the lineup that Yordan had to start the season because he was battling through a hand injury. Like, it actually wasn't even, you weren't even getting the short-term gains on the, at the expense of long-term. You just got neither gains. You just got a bad player in, or Yordan playing like a bad player because he's hurt and he shouldn't have been out there.
Exactly. Exactly. Some more from Dana Brown. Maybe at that point, so many maybes. Maybe at that point, we probably should have shut him down. Maybe for a week. Yeah, given it a chance to heal and not let him try to fight through it and potentially cause more damage. You know what? Hey, at the very least, they're saying maybe we should have done this. I like this, and I hope that going forward that they feel the same way about this. And for Yordan's part, Yordan also basically said, I probably shouldn't have kept playing. So at the very least, lessons have been learned here. Let's see if they can actually apply it to future situations, because we know with this team, they will deal with future situations. It is baseball. It's an 162-game slate.
Yeah, that is the like really small silver lining that has not actually been proven yet. But the, I guess, solace that you could take is that hopefully this whole ordeal has embarrassed them enough to change their ways.
Mm-hmm.
Those naughty, naughty boys.
Those naughty, naughty boys. From the 832, yo, get this bleep off the airwaves. Listen, sometimes the songs that you hear on this show are a byproduct of a disease that I have, which is where I hear specific songs and it just stays in my head for years and years. And that one has stuck in my head. Do you know where I heard that song for the first time? I was at the doctor's office, like in the waiting room, waiting to like meet with my pediatrician, who turns out not a good guy. Found out years later. Thankfully, I did not have to deal with anything. Yikes! Discovered that last year. From the 832, this show is so unserious. Thank you. I appreciate that. Anyway, it's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Sean,
wait, so you heard it in the waiting room?
The song?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
When you're a child?
You just wait. It was just on the TV. There was a couple of kids. And they had Madeline on, and yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you learned all that? That story took a detour. That's why I just wanted to wait, when did you hear the song?
No, I thought you were asking me, when did you hear that your pediatrician went to jail? And I was like, last year. That's when I learned that. And honestly, I remember I texted my sister immediately as I saw this. And I was like, wait a second, what? And my sister was like, yeah, do we tell our parents about this? Because nothing happened to us, but.
Okay, that's good. Did he ever give you a physical?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I was always with my parent. I was always with my parent.
Okay, that's good. That's smart. Smart on the Gallant family.
But there was some weird moments now in retrospect. And anyway, on that note, Paul, is this why you're so weird? It's a good question. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Up next, Throwback Tuesday. It was a year ago today that something that relates very, very, very much to the topic we just discussed took place and threw this Houston sports team into chaos. Stick around.
This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You want to jump in, 713-780-3776 is how you call. It's how you text. You can get after us on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can get after us on Twitch at ESPN 975. So, a year ago today, something happened
that very much relates to the Astros and the way that they have handled Yordan Alvarez's muscle strain that became a small fracture that is 60% healed, per Dana Brown. It's time for Throwback Tuesday.
Let's go back in time.
My story begins in 1982. We had to say tickety, because the Kaiser had stolen our Wear 20.
Because Paul's too uncreative to talk about anything today.
This is going to take a long time, so you may want to get some snacks.
It's Throwback Tuesday.
That's right. Throwback Tuesday. Because a year ago today, Kyle Tucker injured his right shin. It was just a shin contusion. And then it kept him out for 3 months. Happy anniversary, everybody. Happy anniversary of the day that we lost our innocence and stopped believing in the Astros training and medical staff. We went from just joking about them and laughing at them to actually thinking that there's something wrong here.
What little we knew back then, just, hey, little shin bruise for Kyle Tucker. Be back in the lineup a couple days.
It was a fracture.
Turns out it was a fracture, and he wasn't in the lineup for 3 months.
Oof. Not good.
But then, you know, he went on to have a long, storied Astros career. So, oh, no, wait, he got traded that offseason.
He did get traded. What else happened back in the day on June 3rd of 2025? Get this. I've actually got a lot for you. I've got a lot. Hell, I just learned that one of my friends' birthday is today. Someone I worked with in Seattle. Did you know that back in 1851, this is pre-Civil War, on June 3rd, the first baseball uniforms were worn. The New York Knickerbockers wore a uniform of straw hats, white shirts, and blue long trousers. That's probably the first American sports uniform ever.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
Before we even knew what the Yankees and the Rebels were wearing in the Civil War. War of Northern Aggression.
I was going to say that that was the inspiration. They're like, what if we wore uniforms like armies do?
Yeah, probably, honestly.
And we all have straw hats, a white shirt, and long blue trousers, so let's do that.
That's insane that they wore straw hats. Can you imagine if a baseball hat instead was just a straw hat? And I'm wearing like an El Tiempo Astros straw hat right now.
Huh. It'd look kind of cool. It'd be much more laid back of a vibe at games, I'd imagine.
They would definitely fly off all the time, which would actually be cool, too. That would be a cool aesthetic.
Yeah, but I'm glad we tinkered after these guys. That is crazy. 1851.
That is insane. Let's keep on going. Get this. In 1932, on June 3rd, Lou Gehrig hit four consecutive home runs and narrowly missed a fifth. Meanwhile, old Tony Lazzari hit for the cycle as the New York Yankees beat the Philadelphia Athletics 20-13. Total bases by the Yankees in this game, 50. The team set a still-standing record for extra bases with 41. Were they playing in someone's backyard? 41 extra base hits? Good God! Or extra bases, I guess. Whatever the case. That's a lot. In 1987, the Astros tied the Orioles and Rangers record of 3 grand slams in a game. How about that? Cubs did it, too.
Wow. Wow, back when the Astros could hit with the bases loaded.
Hey.
Sorry.
In 1989 today, the Houston Astros beat the LA Dodgers 5-4 in 22 innings. 7 hours, 14 minutes, 9 seconds. God. Ow. That's terrible.
Was this in L.A.? Or
good question. I don't know. Look that up. That's got to be brutal.
Imagine staying up for that one.
Oh, man. You wouldn't.
9 o'clock first pitch.
Oh, my God.
Still going on.
4 in the morning. I mean, you might see the sunrise. You're watching it, and it's a West Coast game. Also, sportscasting legend Vin Scully broadcasted 23 innings in 2 different cities on one day. I'm assuming that had to do with this Astros-Dodgers game going 22 innings. So I guess he didn't do the entirety of the game. Maybe he did 1 inning. He's like, I'm tired.
Or there's a day game that he did and then got on a flight and did this one. I don't know.
More. 2003. Yankees shortstop Derek Jeter's named the 11th captain in club history. Oh, so when he was a captain, they never won a World Series except for in 2009? Interesting. Unanimous Hall of Famer. Interesting. I mean, he wasn't a captain during the year that they won all those titles. Like, why does he get put on such a pedestal? I don't get it. I really don't get it.
Like, yeah.
You can say he's a good player, but you got put on the most ridiculous pedestal there ever was. Oh, he's the captain of the Yankees. Well, he wasn't the 3 World Series they won in the 90s. They lost the World Series to the Marlins that year. The Marlins! The next year, they blew a 3-0 lead over the Red Sox.
That's his first 2 years as being captain.
Yeah! What are we doing? Also, happy birthday to Steve Psycho Lyons. What a name.
Psycho Lyons?
Yeah. And Astros legend, 1971, noted non-dinosaur believer Carl Everett was born. He was on the Astros for a little bit of time. Bit of a crazy person, that one, that Carl Everett guy. So there you go. Throwback Tuesday. 713-780-3776 to call to text. YouTube at ESPN Houston. Twitch at ESPN 975. Junior Bronco says, this reminds me of Rich Lord's celebrity birthdays. Well, listen, we're just telling you about what happened back in time on this day, which started with us remembering that Kyle Tucker got a bruised shin a year ago.
Yeah, we started in 2024 and then went back to 1851 and then moved closer through time. Also, the Astros game was in Houston.
Luckily. It was at the Astrodome. Someone just texted in, actually. That I remember that 22-inning game. There are pictures of some of the players falling asleep in the dugout. June 3rd, 1989. It was the longest night game in National League history. It concluded at 2:50 a.m. Wow. Also, what's crazy is the Astros were in the midst of an 8-game winning streak there. The next day, oh my God, the next day, the Astros and Dodgers played a 13-inning game. Oh, my God. 35 innings in 2 days? Good God, that's 4 games.
Yeah. Yeah. We're talking about the PGA, what was it, the PGA, or not the PGA, the U.S. Open qualifiers. How, man, they had to play 36 holes in a day.
Yeah.
Imagine playing...
Oh, 36 innings of baseball?
Innings of baseball.
I mean, I would have fallen asleep. That's for sure.
Imagine being the catcher.
Oh, God. Yeah, you must
have
gotten
subbed out.
Do you think
he got the next day off after 22 innings?
Well, probably not because they probably put him back in after the first, like, 8 or 9.
They subbed him out after 15 innings. Yeah.
Good God. Anyway, there you go, guys. That's your throwback Tuesday. 713-780-3776 to call it to text. On YouTube at ESPN Houston. On Twitch at ESPN 975. Up next, Lance McCullers. How do we get him justice? And if you need to vent and freak out about the Texans and some of the absences at OTAs, you can. Plus, we've got garbage time with a fantastic movie on the horizon. Stay put.
This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call into text, and it is your last chance to dance. By the way, Kyle Tucker, a year ago today, we were told that he had a shin contusion. Also of note, did you know that Kyle Tucker is dealing with an injury with the Cubs right now?
I don't.
Headline from The Athletic, Chicago Cubs cautiously optimistic that Kyle Tucker avoided a season-changing injury. Anything that happens to Kyle Tucker is magnified, given his status as the number one MLB free agent on the board next winter and the price the Cubs paid to acquire him. At the moment, they're cautiously optimistic that Tucker avoided the type of major injury that could have altered this season's trajectory. He jammed his right ring finger on a head-first slide in the first inning. But apparently, x-rays were negative. Said Tucker, quote, "I feel all right. The hand's a little jammed or a little swollen. But obviously, we got our off day tomorrow." That was over the weekend.
So there wasn't too much inflammation for them to find out if it was broken or not?
No, it doesn't seem like that. He had some kind
of... A lot of teams have issues with that. So.
Here's the report from the Cubs reporter on Kyle Tucker, the way he looked. Tucker had some kind of bandage on his right ring finger, as well as a cut across the bridge of his nose. On the head first slide, his helmet popped off and flipped over as his face scraped against the dirt. He was also wearing a Cubs travel sweatsuit.
Okay, that's not necessary. I don't need to know what he was wearing. I need to know if his ring finger got jammed or not.
Well, they did x-rays and everything, and they were fine.
Okay.
But what about the MRI?
Too much swelling, Paul.
The MRI sees through all of this. I don't get.
Too much inflammation.
Just do the MRI. Just do the MRI. You're a baseball team. You have money. What is the obstacle here? I don't get this. Anyway, it is the Paul Gallant Show. Also, we found out that the person who sent death threats to Lance McCullers and his family was a drunk person who had bet on an Astros-Reds game on May 10th with Lance McCullers making his second start in 3 years. He was angry and mad that he had lost money, so he sent, as one does, death threats to not just Lance McCullers and his, I believe, entire family. Specifically, the threats were sent to his children. And this guy just sucks because his identity is being withheld by Houston police since no charges have been filed yet. I wonder if Lance even files them. Lance should file them, though. The suspect was apologetic and asked that investigators pass on his apologies to Lance McCullers' family. No, you should have to apologize to the children. That guy should have to make the phone call. Like, do a FaceTime. This D-gen, who's probably, like, in an opium den in Hong Kong. And he's gambling on sports. And when he comes down from his high and he realizes, oh, damn, I just lost money on an Astros-Reds game on a Saturday. Dork. Now, all of a sudden, I've lost everything. How am I gonna buy more opium? And then he just decides to lash out irrationally as he's on the come down from alcohol and or the drugs. Who knows if he said he was inebriated. We don't know on what. We don't know if there were lewds or the PCP, little oxy. You know, we don't know what drugs it was. Stephon Diggs' bag. Right, yeah. The bag Stephon Diggs touched but did not partake in.
I mean, we don't know if that's even drugs or not.
His body's a temple. Right. We don't know.
It is just a...
Could have been cough drops.
White or pink powder.
What if it was just candy? What if it was just nerds?
Fun dip.
But anyway, this guy has not directly apologized to Lance McCullers, and I think that we should think about invading this country. I think we should think about invading.
I would just like to know which country.
I would too. That's all I want to know. And then I want to think about invading it. I want to know what resources they have. And I mean, we would never do that, but except for that one time and that other time and that other time, whether it was, I don't know, certain poppies in Afghanistan or oil in Iraq or, you know, some of the drugs that were in Dob. Like, the CIA would never go to another country and take those things and then use it to finance their agenda across the world. They would never do that. But maybe, just maybe, say someone did something to Lance McCullers, we could start doing that now.
So this person overseas blindly bet on someone named McCullers, and he was inebriated? Check Ireland. Just check Ireland.
Are we going to check Ireland?
Just a sweep. Just do a sweep.
Hang on. That's too far. We can't.
The Irish plight is a tough one, you know.
He was drunk blindly voted on a bet on a...
We're constantly under the thumb of the British. It's not easy living over here. All we've got is our Guinness and our potatoes.
Yeah, one of the banshees of Inishsherin.
I just live in a cottage on the sea by myself, with my lass, with my lad Patrick, and my own brother Patrick as well. We're all named Patrick. Patrick and Sean McDougall. Patrick and Sean. That we live in our house. Okay, we live in our house. Don't extra that us. You know, with a lot of people, I have a lot of American Irish friends, don't you see? Like Paul Gallant in Houston. We have a lot of friends.
Yeah, that would be funny if it was an Irish person. That's a great theory. Anyway, on that note, it's time to wrap things up. It is time for garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Yes. So, guys, it's time for garbage time. And in garbage time, I'm really excited about this. There's a movie on the horizon that involves the greatest actor who's ever lived. I'm, of course, talking about Tom Cruise and maybe the funniest role that he's ever taken on, where in the movie Tropic Thunder, he got in a fat suit and played studio head Les Grossman, who you might remember for this.
This is Les Grossman. Who is this?
This is Flaming Dragon.
Okay, Flaming Dragon. Face. First, take a big step back and literally your own face! Now, I don't know what kind of pan-Pacific bull power play you're trying to pull here, but Asia Jack is my territory. So whatever you're thinking, you better think again. Otherwise, I'm going to have to head down there, and I will rain down on a godly f***ing firestorm upon you. You're going to have to call the f***ing United Nations and get a f***ing binding resolution to keep me from f***ing destroying you. I am talking scorched earth, motherfucker. I will massacre you. I will f*** you up.
It seems that they are making a movie based off of this character. I am so here for it. Unhinged Tom Hanks as Les Grossman. You got to have Matthew McConaughey come back in. Because yeah, this is where McConaughey started. His career started taking an interesting turn after this movie as well. Because he was funny in this movie. And he'd always been in just rom-coms before. But he played this like goofy character as well. That's Ben Stiller actor's agent.
Yeah, it was Todd Pecker, right? Or Todd Peck, and they called him Pecker.
Or Tugman or something like that.
Tug Speedman was.
Tug Speedman was Ben Stiller's character. Oh man,
Scorcher 7.
I want a Les Grossman movie so bad. I want this so bad. So it seems that this is actually in early conversation. So that'll be fun. Another movie that could be coming out fairly soon. Remember when we talked about the Turkey Leg Hut, the Houston restaurant that may or may not have been smuggling marijuana along with their turkey legs, that also may or may not
arson
have done a little bit of arson against a competing restaurant. A documentary is in production. Hell yeah, let's go.
Let's get this thing out there. There's already a Diddy doc, like a Fall of Diddy documentary, where I'm like, the trial hasn't even, or just started. Like,
did they just have it waiting? They're just waiting?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
they knew. They were complicit. Yeah.
Just knowing how long it takes to, like, edit a documentary, get all the footage. Like, how'd they do that?
In the dating world, Tinder is adding a height filter to keep people from seeing people of a height that they don't want. Not an issue for me as far as things are right now. Hopefully that remains the case. But you're just going to lie about your height. What, are they going to make you measure yourself?
Yeah, or are you going to put in your driver's license?
My driver's license does say I'm 6 feet tall. But you can lie on that. You're right. Like, they never challenge you on that.
No.
So they're adding a height filter. And good luck, gents. You're going to have to find a way around this one. Don't forget, women like men who are tall only. You know, it doesn't matter how they look. Are you tall? That's all that matters. So lie. Lie and have the best first impression you possibly can. And then say, yeah, I might have lied.
Lie and wear boots. Yep.
Get the DeSantis shoes. Get them. Also, in the dating world, guys are doing gold digger tests. A woman was very upset after she went on a date with a man who asked a woman if she could pay the bill. She said that she would, and the guy, after she was about to pay, said, "Congratulations, you passed the test. You're not a gold digger," and then offered to pay. She did not like this. I would not recommend doing this.
No.
You got to pay at least the first 3 dates, and then you hope that they offer to pay. That's how it works. And if they offer to pay, that's a sign. It's a good sign.
Yeah. Also, sorry, rich guy, that you're so worried about gold diggers.
Yeah.
Something I do not have to worry about.
I will say, a thing I learned from this newfound relationship, you end up getting the bill for two after a group dinner. And certain restaurants, not fun to get the group bill for. not fun to get the bill for two. This is new for me. Anyway, I might be on a payment plan with one of my friends now. And on that note, anyone got any loan sharks out there for this dinner? On that note, appreciate everyone for tuning in to today's edition of the Paul Gallant Show. Subscribe to the podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If you missed anything, a big thanks to everyone who tuned in, specifically our texters, callers, YouTubers, and Twitchers. For Sean Mapes behind the glass, I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell, and have yourselves a wonderful Tuesday. The Killer Bees are next. Peace!
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.